You often hear basketball coaches say defense wins championships. Well, in this first week of high school basketball, I learned defense wins early regular season games. We'll talk about that and more this edition of Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer with Ray Brewer. Ray, our first week of high school basketball, you were at the Bishop Gorman game. What stood out to you?
Well, a lot stood out to me, Kiefer, but the first thing is I love the involvement of the non-athletes in high school basketball. Gorman has its G block, which is its student cheering section. A lot of football players on the, I told you I'd bring football up a few times, but a lot of football players in the cheering section, standing up the whole time, jumping up and down. Durango probably at 20 kids, Gorman close to 100, but they're doing all kind of chants like, "He's a freshman." But so it's pretty entertaining. So,
and then the game I was at, Sierra Vista and Coronado also had a cheering section. Not quite 100 kids, though. At Sierra Vista, there are maybe 15 or 20. They had some good chants, too. Some of them I don't think were true. They were chanting "overrated" at Coronado before the game started. At the Michael Louder kid, Coronado's big presence in the post, they were chanting, "You've got no hops." Well, then he dunked, so I think they kind of proved him wrong. So maybe Gorman has come up with chants that are a little bit more appropriate, because obviously they blew out Durango in the game you were at. The game I was at, Sierra Vista, Coronado, really close. So Sierra Vista, come on, work on some chants. You can't put these kids down and then have them go dunk on you.
Yeah, see, it's a little different on the high school level because you've got to keep it kind of PG because there's administrators walking right there. College, remember, UNLV played Illinois State. Trevon Willis is getting heckled from start to finish because of his checkered pass. You can't do that here. You got to keep it to, like, "I went to Disney" or something on the lower. You know what I'm saying?
Disney. You can't stand Disneyland. We're on to that today.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, listen, folks, I know you agree with me. Disneyland, great place. Maybe cool when you're a teenager to take a date. Maybe cool to take your young kids. Nobody in their right mind wants to wait in the lines. Get your fast pass. I don't care. Either way, you're waiting in line for a minute ride, and it's like $80 to get in.
To ride on the teacups.
To ride on the teacups and throw up. But let's break it down. Kiefer, you saw Canyon Springs play. Let me tell you what I got from Canyon Springs. They played three, I think, really good teams: Foothill, Liberty, and Palo Verde. Twice they've scored more than 100 points. Twice they've won by 40-plus points. 91-56 against Foothill, 101-58 against Liberty, 102-52 against Palo Verde. Against Foothill, their season opener, Foothill's the team they beat last year for the regional title. They only led by four at halftime. They go 23-12 in the third quarter, 30-10 in the fourth quarter to win 91-56. A lot of numbers. Bottom line, as Case is going to tell you, this team wears you out.
Yeah, they're great. I was at the Liberty game, and Liberty really had a tough time getting the ball past half court. This goes back to my defense point. I really saw this team. Their defense, there's just not much you can do to deal with it. They've got so many athletes. They run the trap so well, pressing you. And I think a lot of high school teams panic at that, especially early in the season when they haven't worked with it a lot. I think Canyon Springs is going to keep doing that. They're going to keep relying on it. And look, they didn't lose a game in Nevada last year until the state championship against Bishop Gorman, or maybe in Nevada, but not to a Nevada team. And I don't see any reason why that might not be the case again this year, although the Northeast is a lot tougher.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I really think Canyon Springs would give Gorman a good run for its money. Now, we all know Gorman's got, you know, the big three: Muhammad, Carter, Allen, three juniors, all with Division I offers. But we also know Gorman probably struggles a little bit at the guard spots. They start Johnny Brown, who's a very good point guard. But is he as good as the quick guys they have from Canyon Springs? You know, I'm thinking, and you saw the pressure Canyon Springs puts on in the backcourt. It takes a lot to get the ball across into the offensive zone against these guys. And maybe Canyon could match up well or cause Gorman some matchup problems. Because you got to remember, Allen's a forward. He's like 6'7". Carter's a center. He's like 6'8", 6'9". Muhammad's 6'5". The big three aren't guys who are going to be able to dribble the ball so well up the court. So it's tough to break down a matchup, you know, 3 months before it's going to happen. And we got one game for Gorman where they trailed by 11 early against Durango and then won by 30. They look great. Shabazz Muhammad posterized some kid. But we've got three samples here of Canyon Springs against three quality teams, and they look damn good, man.
Yeah, they looked really good. And one thing I'd say about Canyon is a lot of these teams, we're going to talk about what their noticeable weakness is. Well, Canyon Springs doesn't have a noticeable weakness. They got kids that can score. They got Michael Thompson, maybe the best penetrator in the city. You got Jared Brandon, who just does everything. I mean, obviously he's known for being a big guy, can really grab the board, score inside, but he also hits threes, has assists, steals. I mean, the kid can do everything. I just look at them as really a complete team, whereas all the other elite teams in town, we're going to say, oh, there's this one thing you need to look out for. I don't think we can come up with one for Canyon Springs.
But here's the deal. Is the Jared Brandon kid, who's about 6'5", is he good enough on the inside to hang with the Gormans? And do they have enough depth on the inside to battle with them? See, it's real contrasting styles. You know, I'm more confident in Gorman developing some good guards than Canyon Spring developing some bigger guys on the inside, because bigger guys need to have size, and Brandon's their big guy.
Well, we've talked about Canyon and Gorman, obviously the two marquee teams, the top team in the Northeast, the top team in the Southwest. But what's going to be interesting is the teams behind them this year. I also saw Sierra Vista probably going to battle Western for the second spot in the Southwest all year. They play this week for the first time. I'm sure that'll be a great game. And the Northeast is just kind of stacked from top to bottom. A lot of teams that can go could conceivably finish second. Vegas is better. Valley obviously had a good year last year and brings a lot of people back. Ray, who are you looking at in the Northeast to compete with Canyon at the top?
Well, you said Valley. I mean, they return 11 guys from last year, and depending on who you talk to, a lot of people think Valley is actually better than Canyon Springs. Now, I know that, you know, those people are probably in the minority, but when they lace it up, I think it's going to be an absolutely great game. Big game later this week, Thursday, El Dorado and Vegas. I think two teams that are going to be in the thick of the race. It's real early in the season because of budget reasons. They got to play some league games before Christmas break. So we're talking week two, week three. You got some huge league games before some of your guys have developed. And I know Vegas probably has more talent than El Dorado. They've got, you know, Hassan Henderson and Trajan Langdon, or I don't even know how to say
Trajan
the
Langdon.
Yeah, didn't
the
that
Alaskan
kid
assassin?
Didn't that kid play for Duke?
For Duke.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, anyways,
He's back.
That kid was on the team, they'd be loaded. But I think Vegas relies on a lot of young kids as well, and maybe those kids aren't seasoned and ready to go. I think El Dorado's going to come up and bite them in the old Tushiruski, if you will.
I know you probably were hoping that we could get through this podcast without mentioning it, but I have to. What happened to the Shap Cowboys? They were a playoff team last year. They had their first real test last week. I think they went to Centennial and lost by 20. What happened to your Cowboys, and can they get back on track in the Northeast?
It was a non-league game. You let everybody play. You let everybody get some foot time on the court. This week, they start off easy with Sunrise Mountain. They're going to be a force. They made the playoffs last year. They're going to be competitive. You don't want to play the Cowboys at the Cowboy Corral, Case, all right? It's a tough gym to play in because the lights are bad, too.
Well, there you go. Should be really interesting between all those four teams we talked about for playoff spots. Let's switch gears to the Northwest, the Southwest, like I mentioned. One of the games of the week, undoubtedly, Western at Sierra Vista. Western last year is by far the second best team in this division, but I saw Sierra Vista already. You know a lot about Sierra Vista, and they are really talented. Vika Namaea, obviously one of the best players, if I said his name right, obviously is one of the best players in the Las Vegas. You talked about Shabazz's dunk. I have to talk about this kid's dunk. They're on a fast break. He's a lot shorter than the Coronado guy against him, and he just went up over the guy, dunked on him, and the whole gym went insane. It was so pretty. I guarantee it was a top 10 on SportsCenter. SportsCenter was at the game.
Wow. And I guess when we went into the year, we said, you know, Vico's maybe a one-man show over at Sierra Vista. And as you saw, they probably got three or four, five, six guys who could really play. They got a transfer from Gorman. Another folks, you know me, I'm awful on the Pauly names. Kawaiki or
Kiara. Like
okay, his brother played on Gorman's state football championship team in 08, 07, and 07. And now he's over at Sierra Vista. They get the Greer kid who transferred from Arborview, who looks great. I mean, the kid as a freshman committed verbally to Rutgers. Rutgers gets a new coach, pulls the offer. And the kid kind of was stuck a little bit at Arborview this year. Now he's over at Sierra Vista, and he looked great, Case.
Yeah, I think that you hit the nail on the head. The biggest addition was Macy Greer. Look, they got four transfers, all of which are going to compete and give them good minutes. But this Greer kid, Vico wasn't even the leading scorer at their first game of the year, the game I was at. Macy Greer scored 29. I think he had 4 3-pointers in the first quarter. Look, this is just a kid that flat knocks down shots. If you get him the ball and he's open, he's not going to miss. So he's really impressive, but We've mentioned all that. They probably go 11 deep. Sierra Vista's very good. But can they beat Western, who has the three Washingtons, who are just great? Last year, they only lost a few games. Can they prove they're totally over the hump and a lot better than last year with a win this week?
You know, and last year, Western only lost at home by 9 points to Gorman. So the Washington, I think it's two brothers and a cousin, that they could definitely play. And, you know, it's nice to see Western is always plays good basketball, you know, from the days of Prince Fowler. So this game's going to be real interesting. I like Western because I think they're probably a little more athletic and they're probably a little more in sync. One problem with getting transfers, like Sierra Vista does, is the possibility of those transfers not really blending well together and gelling well together. I still think Western is the second-best team in this league.
I lean Western ever so slightly. A lot of what you talked about, I just think at this early juncture in the season, I think they're going to be a little bit better. I'm not sure they're the second-best team, and, you know, it's a long season. Sierra Vista beats them again, and maybe Western gets upset somewhere along the way, and Sierra Vista can still grab that 2 seed. One question I have for you about the Southwest is, look, anyone you talk to pretty much agrees. Gorman, Western, Sierra Vista, those are the top three teams. Who's going to be the fourth team in this league? You saw Durango. Is Durango going to grab that fourth spot?
I mean, Durango was just real small. That was their big problem. In the third quarter, I think the Ben Carter kid comes in with 7 blocks. Durango can play. They have good players. It's just, are they going to be able to piece it together with basically no inside presence? That four spot's going to be a coin flip. Bonanza probably has a few good players. Spring Valley's always athletic. Clark, I mean, you could even throw into the mix.
It's too bad. That game was at Gorman, correct? The Durango-Gorman game?
No, it was at Durango.
It was at Durango. They were up 11-0 with like 5 minutes. Why didn't they get someone to shut the lights off? Yeah. Call it off.
See, here's my question. I go up 11-0 on Gorman, and my point guard doesn't, you know, he keeps the ball. There's no shot clock, right? What's the etiquette?
Just dribble around.
I mean, right?
Try to hold on.
Yeah, you're up 11, you play keep away. You never let Gorman touch the ball.
Either that or still just find a way to shut off the lights. We've talked about the Southwest. Let's go to the Southeast. Another big game this week. You're going to be at Liberty, Coronado and Liberty. I think, as far as I'm concerned, I think that the top of the Southeast is going to be between Foothill, Coronado, Liberty. Two of those teams going up against each other this week. What are you looking at when you look at this game between the Cougars and the Patriots?
Well, the one sample we have of Liberty is that 101-58 loss to Canyon Springs. But I give Liberty a mulligan because they had a lot of football players come in. You just don't go from getting in a three-point stance to dribbling a basketball and playing defense. I think Liberty needs some time to gel a little bit. Maybe Coronado was the Sierra Vista student section said maybe they are a little overrated. Who knows? We know they've got a good player in their post guy. I like Liberty in this game because, I don't know, the game's at Liberty, not that that matters, but I really think that the football players who've come in, they're going to start, you know, they were over their head against Canyon Springs. I think they're 2 weeks better. I like Liberty. All the games in the Southeast are going to be a coin flip. It's going to go down to, you know, who makes their shots, who stays out of foul trouble, who's, you know, experienced players, you know, play like they're experienced.
I will mention, we talked about Louder, the post player you're talking about for Coronado. Schmidt is also just a great player. He does a whole lot for them. Obviously, Liberty has a guy they think is like that in Nowitzki. Should be a real battle. I think it's going to be a field goal game, and I think it's going to go down to the end. Is that the same thing you're expecting?
Yeah, like I said a few seconds ago, all the games in this league I think are going to come down to the end. The kids are real familiar with each other from years past, and I really don't see much difference between Coronado and Liberty. It's just who's going to execute better.
Well, I guess we'll get to the last division, the Northwest. Some interesting games this week. Arborview and Cimarron Friday. First, Cimarron's got Cheyenne, and Arborview's got Centennial, who right now Centennial looks awfully good, kind of living up to the preseason hype. Big win last week. You think this Bulldogs team is the real deal?
Well, I want to, but, you know, they've got the Twins who are both sophomores kind of doing major minutes, and it's tough to rely on, you know, two sophomores to win that league. I mean, it's an absolutely brutal league, a lot of well-developed athletes, and even though that, you know, Centennial has some of the better players, you know, athletes are athletes. That's why I like Legacy against Faith Lutheran, because I think Legacy is going to put out more guys who are going to compete. You know, Faith probably is a better team, but Legacy is going to compete probably a little better. And, you know, and then your Spartans, Friday night, they score 40 points.
40?
Yeah.
That was a fluke.
That's what one guy scored for them last year. 40 a game.
Yeah, I know. Pretty much he could do it in the first 10 minutes if he wanted to. I think it's a fluke. I think Cimarron is going to be awfully good. But, hey, I want to see what they do going to Cheyenne. I know, like you said, a road maybe isn't that big of a deal in high school basketball. Let's see what they do at Cheyenne. I said on the picks for this Legacy Faith Lutheran game, I have no idea. Why lie and say I know who's going to win? I don't know who's going to win. Do you think Legacy is a team that compete for a playoff spot this year? Maybe Faith Lutheran isn't? Is that your reasoning? Or tell me something about this game. I know nothing.
Well, all I know is that last year, Faith's best player is Brett Luby. He was out all year for the league play. He's injured. And Faith only, you know, they were real competitive, and they lost a few games by some close points. I know Legacy was one of those teams that was in the – I think they had like four teams at 7-7 maybe toward the bottom of the standings. And I just know that – I mean, I know nothing about either of the two teams as well. I know Luby's great, and I know they got a good program at Faith Lutheran. I couldn't name you one player at Legacy, but I know Legacy's got a ton of kids out in every sport, and I know they're ultra-athletic. And rule number one in the Ray Brewer pick in a high school sports, athleticism – reign supreme. That's why I pick against Basic in football.
I knew the Basic slight was coming.
Right?
I knew it.
No, I'm just telling you. I pick teams that are athletic, right? I mean, we go play a pickup game at the park. Is anybody picking me? No, I'm not athletic, right? You got five 34-year-old guys playing a game. You go with the athletes.
There you go. One thing we mentioned, that we're going to give Liberty a pass because they're playing against a much better Canyon Springs team, and Canyon Springs kind of run them off the court. Do we give that same pass to Palo Verde, who also went to Canyon Springs and lost by about 50 last week?
Exactly, 50. I mean, I think you have to. The one thing is Palo's in the post-Moses Morgan phase, where Moses Morgan scored a majority of their points, and Moses Morgan, who's now with DePaul, was kind of like their whole team last year. Well, now they've got a lot of younger players and a lot of guards. They're not a team that's big either. So, you know, their guards obviously weren't as good as Canyon Springs' guards, and it got ugly. So we got to give them you got to give everybody a pass for the first two or three weeks in basketball. You know, football, you play once a week. If you suck in week one, you suck pretty much overall. Basketball, if you start off slow, you start off slow. You could piece it together. I think Canyon Springs is going to make a lot of people look bad, and I think they're trying to make a statement right now that this is our year, we're ready to rock.
Canyon Springs, by the way, this week has Rancho and Desert Pines. Palo opens league play at Mojave. Is there any reason for Palo to be scared and have a little bit longer of a hangover and lose at Mojave?
Well, unlike football, Mojave does play basketball well, or better than they should. So, yeah, I mean, it's still a young Palo Verde team against – who knows over at Mojave, an absolute wild card. But you can't lose by 50 and think you're going to go into anybody's gym and win big. It's just not going to happen. And I think, and maybe you saw this as well, that, you know, football, I don't think there's really a home field advantage. You might know the turf a little better, you know. And oftentimes in football, you see the road team have more people in the crowd than the home team. But basketball, there's definitely a home gym advantage. You know, just by having familiarity with the gym and being comfortable at a certain part on the court, but also the fans. I mean, some of these road teams have like 10 people in the crowd at the most, and the home team, there's a ton of kids. So I really think that that could be a few point swing.
Words of wisdom from Ray Brewer, and I absolutely agree. If you talk to people out of the big sports, everyone will tell you college basketball has the biggest home court advantage. I do think that carries over to high school. So I think early in the season you got to go with the home teams, which is why I think Mojave has a chance in this game. We'll be back to talk about it next week. Thanks for listening. Prep Sports Now.
He's a freshman.